This is Masters of Dispute Resolution on PodClips. Masters of Dispute Resolution is designed to provide those involved in the mediation process with the views of the most experienced and accomplished mediators and others experienced in the process. Through our discussions, you will gain insight into how to address and overcome difficult issues and achieve more satisfying results in mediation. Your host is Len Levy, mediator and arbitrator with ADR Services, Inc., a leading alternative dispute resolution provider. Lynn litigated complex cases for more than 30 years and has been a mediator since 1998 and is a member of the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals. He has been recognized as a super lawyer in alternative dispute resolution each year since 2014.
Your guest host this week is Jeff Truman.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Season 4 of Masters of Dispute Resolution, a podcast which will add tools to your mediation toolbox. We are brought to you by the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals and ADR Services, Inc. In each podcast episode, you will hear a story about conflict, the impact that conflict had on the lives of the parties involved, how resolution was reached, and lessons to be taken from that conflict and its resolution. Many of the details of the story you are about to hear have been modified to preserve the confidentiality essential to mediation, while also conveying the essence of the conflict and its resolution. Today, we'll be talking to the host of this program, Len Levy. And I'm Jeff Truman. I'm happy to be taking a temporary seat here at the host desk. And I'm happy to interview Len Levy, who has wonderful stories and a rich array of experience after 30 years of experience as a trial lawyer, trying complex business, construction, insurance, personal injury, products liability, real estate cases, etc. Len Levy began resolving disputes as a mediator and arbitrator in 1998. In his more than 23-year career as a neutral, Len has not only resolved hundreds of matters in the same areas in which he tried cases, but also has been effective in resolving mass tort and complex multi-party cases related to product liability and sexual abuse molestation, homeowners association disputes, professional liability malpractice, employment and legal fee disputes. As a mediator, Len explores the interests of the parties to achieve a resolution which maximizes all parties' satisfaction with the settlement, and he is known for his extraordinary patience, creativity, and tenacious pursuit of resolution. And I will add that what's not part of Len's bio is that he's a really smart, interesting, and fun guy. And I think that matters. So I want to say thank you and welcome to Len Levy.
Well, thank you for welcoming me. I appreciate being on this end of it. And thank you for your generous introduction. I will try to live up to it.
I have every confidence. I just want to provide a little context that Len and I met not long ago, and we talked about interesting cases that Len has mediated and thought that this would be a wonderful opportunity to provide a chance for Len to share stories about cases he's mediated. And I'm not going to steal your thunder, Len. I'm going to allow you to set the stage for the case that you want to talk about today. It's inspirational, it's insightful, and I can't wait to hear it.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I will tell you, this case came to me initially by the usual referral sources, but I didn't really have a background of dealing with the particular area in which this dispute arose, and that was rock and roll music, okay? The parties to this case, I should tell you, were a duo who had composed a song that was something that if I could, but I'm not going to breach any confidentiality here. If I told you what that song was, you'd be able to sing along with it. In any event, it became the theme of a television show that was on the air for a number of years, and it was essentially the two musicians' claim to fame. They had performed, then they were continuing to perform while the song was popular, but they really never made it big. There's no other song out there that you could sing along with that I could tell you about. In any event, the TV show for which they wrote the song had gone off the air. It was canceled, and the people had moved on to bigger and better things, some of them. And the people who were the two disputants here had tried to perform more and become popular, but they never really made it. And there really wasn't an income flow coming from that song. So there was nothing really to fight about in terms of royalties or residuals or anything along those lines. But there was an interim phase where they weren't performing together. They had somewhat of a falling out. We never really got into what the falling out was about, but the attorneys told me, going into the mediation, both of them, do not have these two fellas in the same room. They'll kill each other. There's going to be a problem, and just don't have them together. You'll never reach a deal if you do. So we got into the mediation of this dispute, which really centered on the fact that the show had now been picked up in syndication and there was actual money to be talking about. And the money was not millions and millions of dollars, though. It was five-figure, maybe six-figure money at some point. But there had been, in the interim, some, as part of their falling out, one had lent the other money. They decided to change up what their percentage of split was, things of that nature. And there were all kinds of interim deals that kind of apparently left a bad taste in their mouth. And that's as far as I could get in terms of what really was driving this dispute, because now there are royalties. What is the split going to be between these musicians? So that
interesting.
That's the dispute.
Well, you set the stage, pun intended, for how you're going to approach what the lawyers want you to do, which is kind of sounds like a pretty standard, straight ahead, traditional process where you're keeping the parties separate, understandably so, especially if the intel you're getting is that they're going to kill each other. You certainly don't want that. And yet I somehow have a feeling that this may be an important detail that we're going to address later. You are listening to Masters of Dispute Resolution. Our guest is Len Levy, host of this podcast. We're talking about a dispute where Len was brought in to try to work something out between artists that had some success and now we're fighting. And we'll have to see how things turn out. Very interesting to see how the day will unfold or how the process unfolds and how you strategized and how you worked it and worked your magic, Len Levy.
Masters of Dispute Resolution would like to thank ADR Services Incorporated, your partner in resolution, and its founder, Lucy Barron, for supporting this podcast. ADR Services is one of the leading providers of alternative dispute resolution in California. Leveraging technology to drive resolution, ADR Services is committed to dynamism in the face of growing client need and an ever-evolving legal climate. Now operating offices in all major legal markets of California, ADR Services provides unparalleled in-person and remote resolution services through its exclusive panel, comprised of more than 130 of the most distinguished and talented neutrals across the state, capable of handling challenging and complex mediations, arbitration, and other procedures in every field of law. When you seek the services of a neutral and you want results, results and satisfied clients, contact ADR Services, www.adrservices.com.
Welcome back to Masters of Dispute Resolution. I'm Jeff Truman, and my guest is Len Levy. Len, we were talking about a case that you had where some musicians who had some measure of success had a falling out, and you were called in to try to work a deal. So how did you approach, and what happened next?
Well, the first thing is that I've had some experience with people who don't get along. And but there have been few, thank you, very few, that the danger of any physical fisticuffs or anything like that have presented themselves. But nevertheless, I took it to heart and made sure that everyone in the office knew that one end of the office is going to be where one side is going to be, and the other end of the office is going to be where the other side is going to be. And there is, however, unfortunately, no way of monitoring bathroom breaks, which could derail things, but we'll live with that one. Okay, so the approach was first, let's set it up physically. The second thing is that I really wanted to give each party an opportunity to really vent and to talk about the other party. What is it that is preventing them from getting along? I mean, and so we explored that. We spent a great deal of time. This was scheduled for 8 hours, and it took every bit of it, because they were talking about how they had to go into every bit of the history talk about how one side talked about how I, you know, lent him money when he's having problems, and he never reciprocated. He never even acknowledged that the extent to which I helped him out, and he went through a difficult time with this and that, and then the other not really having an idea that was bothering his buddy. It was more musical on one side. So it was, my contribution was not appreciated. So there was a kind of a theme of lack of appreciation musically, lack of appreciation as friends, things of that nature. And so, like so many mediations, I approached it from a standpoint of, okay, look, let's see what the lawsuit is about. Can we resolve the lawsuit? Can we get this settled to get it off of their plates in terms of having to spend money, things of that nature? And so it went just typically as we've had it in many mediations, where someone will vent, both sides will vent, perhaps. They have to be feeling like I was listening to them, as I was, and coming up with what I thought would be the best approach, which was, okay, look, what are the problems here? Let's do a problem-solving type of negotiation. Before we start going back and forth, let's just talk about possible solutions. And so that's what we did. We talked about how things could be structured and how things can be more easily handled, the logistics of it, what worked for one side, what worked for the other. Now, I've got to say that if you have a problem-solving kind of approach to mediation and to negotiation, it helps to have everybody in the same room. And I know that rings very true to you, Jeff, because unlike the West Coast usual default of separate caucuses, you do a lot of joint sessions.
I'm not afraid of them, put it that way. I will say that my default is to follow my West Coast brethren and sisters to keep the parties separate at first, at least get a lay of the land. And I don't mind doing it completely by private meeting. But when I think that there's a good reason to have a joint session with all participants or maybe just the lawyers, that's a ready tool that I'll grab out of my toolbox for sure. So I'm not afraid of doing a joint session, even when it's in horrible, horrible circumstances. But it sounds to me like here you're approaching a problem-solving opportunity. And it sounds to me like there's going to be an interesting twist in this. You are listening to Masters of Dispute Resolution. Our guest, Len Levy, normally the host of this very podcast, we're talking about how he's helping some artists bring harmony. Is that bad? That's pun intended. Bring a little harmony, tone down the dissonance in their relationship. So, Len, what happened?
Well, what happened was we worked out all of the logistics that the attorneys were happy that their clients weren't subjected to the horribles that they imagined in their minds that could happen. I didn't try to get the parties together because things were moving in a direction of getting it resolved. To me, let's not substitute what might be more efficient, that is, the parties talking to each other, for what is working. All right? So that's what we did. We went back and forth and finally came up with a deal. And then we had to do the usual hammering out the language. I thought that short form kind of agreement in this particular case was not what we should do. Let's see if we can hammer out the details. And that's what we did. So we took pretty much the entire day. It was in downtown Los Angeles at the ADR services office. And we hammered out an agreement. All the attorneys signed off on it. Both of the parties signed off on it. I will tell you, there's one dynamic too, another dynamic. One of the parties' wives was there. The other was not married, if I recall correctly, but there had been some involvement in the operation of the group when they were a duo, where the particular wife was involved in that more and had some say in what was going on. So it was something that was curious to me. But again, I was on a path at that point in time of let's get an agreement. And if this is working and whatever they're talking about in private is working, then I don't have to delve into that. I would rather not stir the pot in that area.
Right. I don't blame you, because if it's working, you don't need to. You're making progress towards resolving the lawsuit. And, you know, to take the analogy a little further, do you really need to know who owns the guitar? As long as the guitar is being played and it's working and it's in tune, there you go. But, you know, when you get to crunch time, you may need to know who's really in charge and who's got the authority. And I suppose we'll see as this story unfolds. You are listening to Masters of Dispute Resolution. My host is Len Levy. I'm Jeff Truman, taking a wonderful opportunity to interview the interviewer. And we're listening to an interesting story, an interesting case that Len had, where two musicians had a falling out, and they are now in the process of working with Len to resolve their lawsuit. And when we last left off, Len noticed who was involved and how the day was shaping up, and it looked like they were making progress, but not quite finished yet. What happened next, Len?
Well, what happened next was there was a conversation before it got finalized between the musician whose wife was there and that musician. And there were a couple of things that had to be ironed out, but nothing major. I had learned that the couple had lent money to this to the other partner. And so, as so often happens, and if you've been married for any length of time, everybody should pick this one up. You know, there are different reactions that different spouses have to things like lending friends money. So in any event, that got resolved from a standpoint of everybody agreed to the settlement, and the documents were signed. Everybody seemed happy, and I went into one room with their copies of the agreement and said, "Okay, that's great. It's very nice meeting you." And then something strange happened. Something very strange happened.
I want to know all about it. But before you tell us, let me remind our guests that we are listening to Masters of Dispute Resolution. And our special guest today is Len Levy, who is sharing an interesting story about a case that had wrapped up, but maybe not. What happened,
Len? Well, the strangest thing was, look, after 8 hours of mediation, typically people are ready to, they're already packing up about hour seven, okay? They're wanting to get out of there. And especially if you're, you know, in downtown Los Angeles, most people want to try to at least have somewhat of an evening left and beat the traffic, unless you've got Laker tickets or something like that. But in any event, nobody was leaving. Nobody was leaving. And I just thought there was something else that may be bothering them. I glanced down the hallway and I saw, and nobody was leaving in the other room either. So I asked what I thought was a real simple and unobtrusive question: is there something else you want from me here? Is there something else I could do? And the attorney shook his head. No, I don't think so. And that, I wasn't getting a nod, a nod from the other part, from the client. And it was, okay, so what is it that is bothering you here? And he wasn't forthcoming with it. I said, all right, so look, I think there might be something else that may require, if I can be so bold, require a conversation between the two of you. The attorney, if he was a stuntman being shot out of a cannon, he couldn't have gotten up more quickly. And said, no, you're not suggesting they be in the same room. You know, it's you can't do that. Now, attorneys are afraid of some things, and the client blowing the deal is one of them.
Sure.
And so I got the sense of there was something they had to say to each other. And so I just tried to keep the temperature down in the room. Okay, there's something you have to say. Is there something you need to discuss? It's great. How can I help you with that? And would you like to meet with them? Would you like to have me bring them in here? And after a few minutes of discussion, he said, you know something? I would like to talk to him, but I want to talk to him without his wife, without attorneys at all. You can come into the room, Len, but I'd rather just have a private conversation. And so I went to the other end of the office suite and had a conversation about, not starting out, he wants to talk to you, but starting out with, when was the last time you talked? How did that go? What was it? Was there a problem that I could help iron out here? And again, the reaction from the other attorney was, oh my God, you're going to blow this. You know, it's already signed. So bottom line here, both parties wanted to talk to each other. And so I arranged for a separate room. I brought one of them in, had him wait, and then I brought the other party in. And when they saw each other, they stopped. They didn't say anything for what seemed like a long time, maybe 10 or 15 seconds, all right? And then they went over to each other and they hugged. Mm. And that absolutely blew me away. I didn't expect that reaction, but that's what the reaction was. And as I exited the room, taking my cues from the fact that they didn't need me in the middle of that, they were talking about, let's set up a barbecue. If you're free tonight, we can go out to dinner, but maybe this weekend you can come over to our house. We can have barbecue. And that's essentially how it ended.
How did you tell the lawyers about the hug and that they weren't ripping each other's throats out?
Well, you know, I went into the first one lawyer's room and I said, look, just so you know, everything's fine. The agreement is going to stand. There's not any discussion. There's not even any discussion about the agreement. All right. Things are moving in the right direction for them personally. And I did that with both rooms. And the attorneys were just, they were shaking their heads like, wow, wow. So that's how it ended.
Yeah, you got them focused on the future, mm-hmm. which is so often the main challenge and very difficult challenge to reorient everyone's perspective to what today and tomorrow could look like, as opposed to all of the bad things that occurred to generate the lawsuit, to bring you in on it, and to then figure out how to bring forth some measure of, quote, justice, fairness, whatever else that they're looking for, based on past events. Let's take a break for a second. I'm chatting again with Len Levy, the host of this podcast, but today we're doing a switch. My name is Jeff Truman, and I'm interviewing Len. We're talking about an interesting case that he has, and we'll come back on Masters of Dispute Resolution on podclips.io.
Masters of Dispute Resolution is sponsored by the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals. NADN is the premier invitation-only association of civil mediators and arbitrators in the United States, with members in every state of the nation. Only experienced ADR professionals who are widely acceptable to local plaintiff and defense firms are invited to join the Academy's roster. The Academy's website, NADN.org, is the most widely visited neutrals database in the world today, with over 40,000 law offices, insurance companies, and corporations visiting our free website annually. Firms can search for neutrals by many criteria, including location, case expertise, qualifications, language skills, and most NADN members also publish their available dates, calendars, online, making NADN.org the go-to website for law firms wishing to schedule appointments online with their preferred mediators. For more information, please visit www.nadn.org today.
Welcome back to Masters of Dispute Resolution. I'm Jeff Truman. My guest is Len Levy. Len, you just described a really interesting case where the case settled, the lawsuit, I should say. Lawsuit settled, documented, signed, and yet you noticed that there was something strange, not too strange, but strange enough to keep your interest and inquire. You went in and were able to get a joint meeting between the parties at their request and witnessed a sort of reuniting of two creative souls talking about what their futures could look like. It's an interesting case. What are some takeaways for you?
Well, the main takeaway is that very often as a matter of fact, almost always, we're hired to settle a lawsuit or settle a conflict, not to resolve the situation for the parties fully. And it's not possible in every case, certainly. It is not, maybe not even possible in most cases. But from a standpoint of mediation and what our role is as mediators, I think it's to look for what the parties really need. What is possible here? Can we resolve the lawsuit? That's great. Can we go beyond that and help these folks going forward deal with each other in a way that is going to enrich their lives, not just, you know, get rid of the conflicts? Because obviously getting rid of the conflicts is important. Even married people, even, you know, people who are very good friends have conflicts. It's finding a way of moving forward. And if we can do that, that was the big satisfaction, level of satisfaction to me. That made me feel like, you know something? There is something that we can do beyond just what's expected.
Right. And what's expected typically is to work out some set of terms that are good enough to resolve the lawsuit or the threat of a lawsuit. It's interesting because in this case, you really were probably prepared in your mind to have to set up what could otherwise be a difficult conversation between the two artists without their lawyers there. But you didn't have to, it sounds like. They saw each other and realized that, hey, you know, life's short, or whatever they were thinking, to motivate them to take advantage of what time they had left rather than fight about what happened before.
Let me interject something, too. I made it sound like I just threw them into the rooms together, which is not exactly the case. It was look, would we... We have to set the stage a bit. We have to prepare them for what I anticipate happening. What I anticipated happening is that they would both try to talk over each other and things of that nature. And I talked to them a little bit of coaching on, look, I don't know what he is going to say, but it would be helpful. If you listen, you have an opportunity to talk. Let's go back and forth and set some ground rules on some things that aren't going to escalate things. Okay,
right. You had good reason to believe it might, given what the attorneys were telling you before the mediation even started, and were reminding you during the mediation as well. And so, to prep and reorient the parties to being civil, being considerate, and listening, just like each one of us want from the other person, whether it be our friend or someone who's not quite our friend. It's what we expect, and yet we lose sight of that when we feel wronged.
Look, it is very likely that where attorneys are used to mediating in a particular way with particular mediators, or just generally in mediation, they have the idea of not necessarily, and I'm not saying the attorneys aren't interested in advancing the client's interests. I'm just saying that they may see their client's interests as being more limited than they really are. Because look, I practiced for a long time and I listened to the clients, and the client was always, well, defeat the lawsuit or get them to pay this, or that's the orientation. But attorneys should, I think, in preparing the client for mediation, think in terms of what does the client really need. But that's just me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I realize that for many reasons, lawyers may not either be motivated or think that they're able to really address and help in other ways outside of their specialty. Nonetheless, that doesn't stop human need from being what it is. And in your case, it didn't sound like the lawyers had been told that the parties wanted to reunite or to talk about patching up their friendship. Perhaps it was the process in part that you executed, and that the negotiation brought up some things from the past, but also resolved them so that they were able to move on. And sort of having gone through that cleared the way for them to think about changing their outlook toward each other.
And you're right, Jeff. And that's the other thing, another thing about when you are listening to a party's story, think in terms of, or try to think in terms of, what does this party, what I'm talking about from a mediator standpoint, what does this party really want here? And it may very well be that all the party wants is, look, I want to settle this lawsuit and get some bucks out of it. All right, that's fine. That's great. That's what the party needs. But we should listen for more. That's what I'm suggesting.
We can and we should. And I think oftentimes, depending on the personality of the participants, they may offer it. They may talk about, and you know, you hear somebody repeat something and it's clearly important to them, or the manner in which they want to express their frustration, their hurt, or their regret can be a tell and be very valuable information that can determine not only what the sort of basic process is, but what its potential could be. And, you know, I oftentimes think about that too, just like you do, I'm sure. What's the potential here? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I'm not going to shoot it down if it opens up either, right?
There was a line from City Slickers about, you know, Curly saying, you know, look for that one thing, you know, what is that one thing? And sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
That's okay. You don't know until you're there. Or right. Sometimes you don't know until you try. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Len, for this conversation. And I'm not going to say that I hope you'll be back, because I know you will be back. But maybe someday I might be back and sit in the chair and interview you on another cool, interesting case that you've done someday. Thank you very much to Daryl Wayne, engineer. I'm your host, Jeff Truman. Thank you, Len Levy. This is Masters of Dispute Resolution on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs, Inc. I hope you will continue to enjoy the stories that Len and company bring you. In the meantime, stay well, keep listening, and remember, peace of mind is enhanced when conflicts are resolved.
If you wish to contact Len Levy, you can reach him through his email at lslevy@adrservices.com, through Len's website, lenlevymediate.com, telephone him at 818-903-5562, or contact his case manager at ADR Services, 213-683-1600.